Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. For it is said, if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here is what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I will receive what was my own with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to the one with 5 talents. For to those who have, more will be given, and to those who have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for the worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the Lord.
It's our privilege this morning to welcome Doug Wicks. We're glad you're with us this morning, Doug. Doug's known to several in the congregation as a leader in the men's interchurch Bible study that meets here Saturdays at 7 a.m. You get a remarkable assortment of mostly pickup trucks that gather right around there. I kind of had to buy one, it's a great group, and thanks to Bob and Doug's leadership and the others that help make it happen. It's a special group that does a lot of good. And for years, I had met Doug, but I would hear some stories of some of the curious ways that he is faithful and compelling in his following of Jesus. And I don't know how much he'll share of what he does, but I want you to know that this is a man who loves the Lord, who has a great sense of humor. He's gifted and skilled in his work in video production, and has a remarkable history of walking with God and experiencing his grace. I hope you'll join me now as we welcome Doug Wicks to the pulpit.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Was that me you were talking about, Peter?
No.
Yeah, it didn't sound like me for a little bit there. Anyway, I like to float. I don't like pulpits, so I'm just going to float. That's kind of like my nature of things. It's good to be here this morning. Like Peter said, yeah, I know some of you. Some of you may know me more than I know you. Some of you know I know too well, like Phil, for example, and Bob. Anyway, I think you all probably got that little bio thing in the mail. Did you guys get that little bio thing in the mail? That's kind of cheating. You know far more about me And I know about you guys, but it kind of sums things up. And so when Peter gave me this phone call a couple weeks ago, not only did I not answer it, by the way, because I never do, but when I finally got around to talking to Peter, he goes, "Hey, we got this stewardship deal going on. You know, would you be happy and, you know, come out and shoot the breeze for us for a couple minutes?" And I figured, well, you know, what the heck? You know, I got nothing to do that particular Sunday. You know, what the heck, you know? But I have learned one thing in my walk with God, and that is to pay attention to my gut feeling that happens, like, immediately, okay? Now, I have learned that the longer I think about things, the greater the chance of me doing absolutely nothing. I'm really good at overanalyzing things. And when I overanalyze stuff, and I think this is a big club, okay? When I overanalyze stuff, you know, by the time I'm done analyzing, the game is on. Okay? I ain't doing anything. Nothing. So, you know, I have learned, and I'm still learning this, that when I hear something or you get stuck in a situation somewhere and you get that little gut feeling, you know, is it the Holy Spirit? Is it just a gut feeling? You know, I don't know, we could talk about that for all day. But, you know, you just, and two words came into to my gut, my spirit, after we talked on the phone, okay? And Carol, you stole my verse, my friend. Okay, yeah, that's why I don't like you anymore, because you stole my verse. Yeah. Give me the first slide up here. I got Ella up there. I told Ella I would yell and scream at her to tell her when to change the slides. Okay, so Romans 12:1. All right, now Peter calls me, and bingo. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true proper worship." This is an NIV translation, you know. But give me the next slide, Ella. Living sacrifice were the two words that I kind of felt immediately after you and I talked. Okay. I mean, I've known Romans 12:1 for a long time. And for most of my life, that's all it was, Romans 12:1. Oh, let's read verse 2 now. Hey, heck, there's three? You know, all of a sudden, you kind of keep going, and you lose what God's trying to get across to you. But living sacrifice, that's huge. That's bigger than what you and I know. Okay? That is a full-time job. Case closed. Thanks for listening. No. No. It just is. I mean, whether you want it to be or not, and you've got a say in the issue, I got that, because if you want to watch the game, knock yourself out, okay? But I'm telling you, a living sacrifice is a 24/7, 365 days a year job. I don't, you know, in all honesty, I'm not a big fan of that plan, but it does seem to be the plan, okay? God's plans are a little higher than mine, okay? And I've kidded about this with the Bible study. I have this little saying that, like, if it's poorly timed, inconvenient, and costs more than I want to pay, that's God. Poorly timed, inconvenient, and costs more money than I want to shell out, that's probably God. It is so true. Now, whether I give into that or not, that's my call. If I don't want to cooperate with God, he'll find someone that'll cooperate with him, and he'll just pass me by, and someone else will get the blessing. It's the way it works. It's the way it works. But living sacrifice, it's still growing in me. You know, I'm still a human being. I'm still walking around this planet, so it's like I got some time, right? You got some time. If you're sitting here, you got time to grow. I got time to grow. All right, you're growing all the time, and this living sacrifice thing is huge. Do not let living sacrifice be just Romans 12:1. Stop it. There's a word from the Lord. Stop it. All right, live it, and don't just read these words. Live these words, and that's where we're going to start here today. Okay, Ella, let me see the next slide. I got some scriptures I want to share with you guys, and then it's going to be story time. Okay. Next one that came up to my inside me while I was praying about this and thinking about this, and you know, you guys have heard these verses. You know, this is nothing new here. Greater love is no one than this guy who lays his life down for his friends. You know, everybody in the room, and I don't know everybody, but I'm really assuming this, everybody in the room has probably heard that one. Okay. Laying down, give me the next slide there, Ella. Go for the next one. Lay down one's life. Now, I don't think that means dying for somebody. It could. But you know what's harder than that? Laying down your entire life. All right? 24/7. It's that living sacrifice deal. These puppies are tied together. These puppies are tied together. You're going to lay down your life, and your life is a living sacrifice. That's what God wants. Remember, he just said, hey, this is your reasonable deal here, guys. It's really what God expects. Now, I'm not a pro at this. Nobody in this room is a pro at it. And God knows we're all screw-ups. You know? That's why we're here. You should see the screw-ups that meet downstairs on Saturday morning. Yeah, just look at Phil, you know, holy cow. Thanks for being here, by the way, Phil. I appreciate that. Yeah. Laying down your life. I don't know how good I am at that either. There are times when there's no doubt about it that I'm laying down my life, and that means, you know, time. It's more than money. It's always more than money. Money's part of it, no doubt about it. Time is huge. Time is more valuable than money. It just is. We're going to get to that in a couple minutes. How are you guys at laying down your life? I mean, if it means you miss the game, you miss the game. Watch the highlights later. Be available for God to just grab a hold of you and do whatever the heck God wants to do with you. You know? And, you know, just see what happens. Okay, let's go to the next group here, Ella. I'm going to read three verses out of Matthew. Again, there's nothing new here. If you guys have been walking with God for a while, you say, ah, Doug, been there, done that. I've seen this verse before. So let's just read a couple here. You are the light of the world. I've got to stop there. It's hard for me to just read verses and just keep going here. But this is Jesus talking about you. We always say, oh, Jesus is the light of the world. Well, guess who's the light now? You. Jesus was the light because he's walking around doing the Jesus stuff. I got that. He hits the road. He goes to heaven. Now whose turn is it? It's your turn. Be light. It's, you know, it's bigger than that. It's because you are light, whether you know it or not. I don't give a hoot whether you agree with that or not, because it says you are. It doesn't say you will be. It doesn't say you will be when you get your act cleaned up. Nobody in this room has their act cleaned up. I don't. No one does. We're all screwed up somewhere. But you know what? Even with that being true, I still am, and you still are, the light of the world. My little thing here is kind of like going south. Very good. Sorry, Frank. You are, I am, light. And you know what that means? That means people are going to see you. If you're hiding for the kingdom of God, here's another word for the Lord. Stop it. No, you are light. And you know why you're light? Because other people need to see it. My grandmother and grandfather were ministers in way back in like the 50s, and had the Evangelical United Brethren. It was one of the forerunners to the United Methodist. And Papap used to say, sometimes your life is the only Bible other people read. Now, I've heard that many times. It's more than just a fancy phrase. You are light. You are light. A town built on a hill, back up just one there for a second. Town built on a hill can't be hidden. You got that? Can't be hidden. Let's keep going. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. on the train, at the train station, at the airport, at Shaw's. Shaw's, at the frozen food section in Shaw's. Right? Okay. You know why? You're light. And God needs some light at the frozen food section in Shaw's. And guess who it's going to be? And it's going to be you. And I don't know what the details are, but guess what? Be available. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're going to actually, heaven forbid, pray for somebody in Shaw's. Does God hear prayers in Shaw's? It's like, hey, tough. Maybe it's just an encouraging word. Maybe it's someone who's in a wheelchair who can't reach something that's high up, and you're there. Fill in the blanks, right? Okay. But you are the light to everyone in your car. You are a light. I don't give a hoot where you are. You're right. Okay, Ella, go for the next one. In the same way, here you go. Let your light shine before. I should have put a space between shine and before. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Ella, give me that next one. See your good deeds. Now, you ain't showing off jack. Okay. We're not going down the ego road saying, I prayed for someone at Shaw's. I must be holy. And we all know that's crap, okay? We're not going down that road. Not going down that road. But others need to see the light that you are because God made you that light. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility because of these three verses in Matthew. Okay? It's not a show-off deal. You're not doing it to get attention. But there's that line. There's that line there. I'm doing this in public. Ooh, it's going to look good to these people. They'll think I'm really super Christian, okay? But, that's not where your heart needs to be. Your heart is in a position so that you pray for somebody in the frozen food section at Shaw's because they need prayer, and God stuck you there to take care of the job. And it's not like you all have to get down on your knees in front of the frozen vegetables, okay? And have your hands raised, and start singing and, Maybe you just put your hand on the person's shoulder and say, Father, bless this guy. Three words. I don't know. But the thing is, you got to be available because you are light, Jack, and I am light. And the idea is to use, God wants to use you because you are light. And you're going to go and reach people that I can't reach, or that Peter can't reach, or Bob, or Phil, or even Keith. Thanks for being here, Keith, by the way. Even Keith can't reach. You've got we all have our zone. I have a kingdom. You have a kingdom. I can't reach people in your kingdom. You can. Be light in that little kingdom that God has stuck you in. Now, that is going to be the basis of story time. Okay. Let me see here. The way I make sermons, I get the chance to preach at the Vineyard, which is down in Kingston, a fair amount of time. And I don't type things out. I'm not a type out kind of guy. Not there. I make little storyboards, little pictures of slides that I got stuck up in the screens, and hope and pray that they work, you know what I mean? That being said, I stuck together a little video, a minute long, but Ella, roll it and make sure we can hear it.
If I known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band, goodness sake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake and spread the welcome mat for you. Now I don't know where you came from, and I don't know where you've been, But it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter. Now dig, dig, dig right in. If I known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake and spread the welcome mat for you.
You're the best, Jeanette.
That's Jeanette. Okay, story time. I don't know. First of all, I don't know how much time I have. I have till 1 o'clock, right, Peter? So, okay. Anyway, but a couple years ago, I worked downtown. All right, I take the train in. I grab the train down here at Dunkin' Donuts, and I have spent a zillion hours commuting to and from work for the past almost 30 years. All right, I tithe to the MBTA. Anyway, I don't know when this all started, but you know, downtown, this is way before the COVID deal, downtown, there's always homeless people, always. I get off at South Station, all right? Bunch of homeless people floating around South Station. I walk up Atlantic Avenue to my office, which is about a mile up the road, 20-minute walk. So, like I said, I can't remember, but I really felt like God was saying, you know, we'll do something. I remember, I thought, okay, I need to start reaching out to homeless people. You know, and I may have fun doing this, but I don't want to walk up to someone and say, do you know Jesus? I don't want to do that. That's not me. That's not me. But let me show you what I am. I just happen to have something here in my pocket. This has been the key to success in lots of rain. This is a Dunkin' Donuts card. All right? God has blessed America with Dunkin' Donuts cards. And you didn't know it. Okay? So I thought, okay, I want to do something. You know, I've been a Christian for a zillion years. You know, you can't fix everybody. I got that. But you can fix some, or, you know, help out somebody. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy me a bunch of these cards. I get 10 bucks a piece. I don't care what you would do, but I did 10 bucks. Okay. And I figured, okay, here's how this is going to work. I find people. I'm not downtown anymore, but yeah, I look for people who weren't holding up signs and begging for money, but kind of off to the side. Okay. And over these years that I did this, I must have hit like 30 or so people and became friends with quite a few. I mean, you walk up to somebody and say, hey, buddy, do you like coffee? And of course, it's a state law that you have to drink coffee at Dunkin' Donuts in Massachusetts. And so, and the answer is, oh, yeah. I said, you know what? I got a $10 card here, and if it could help you, I'd be more than happy to give it to you. And, you know, I don't know if anybody in the years I did this, I don't know if anyone said no. You know, and I said, well, it's just a way to let you know that, you know, God loves you, I love you, and he's going to buy your next cappuccino. You know? Hey, thanks. Da 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 da. You know, if a friendship developed, fine. If it didn't develop, fine. You know, I'm not in charge of where this goes. If it's going to go somewhere, let God grow it. You know, let God grow it. Too many times I have rushed God, and those puppies have gone south. Okay, learn my lesson on that. Let God be God. I don't need to be Holy Spirit Junior. I just need to be Doug Wicks. So. I get off the train. I take the train in one morning. I walk off the platform into South Station. Now, I don't know if you've all been to South Station, but you know, it's one of the busiest stations in America. It's like the sixth or seventh busiest train station in America. You go in there between 8 and like 8:45, it is packed. Okay, there are 13 lanes going into South Station, all full of everybody from the South Shore. You're jumping off the train, trying to get through. You know, it's just a couple doors. It's pretty much a mess. So I get off the train. I walk down to the platform. I'm kind of praying quietly, and I stand there right before I walk into the concourse, and I'm sitting there kind of quietly praying, Lord, you know, who? Who? And I really felt like the Holy Spirit said, pick one. Pick one. You know, here I am waiting for James Earl Jones' voice to show me the way. You know, and it's like, and many times because I didn't hear, you know, Luke, I am your father, because I didn't hear him, I didn't move. I guess God's not moving this morning. That's crap. But I really felt like God was saying, well, Doug, you know, if you want to get this puppy rolling here, pick one. Off I went. And, you know, I would walk by people, kind of analyze the situation, you know. But then come back, you know, make sure I had my Dunkin' Donuts card, say, buddy, lady, da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, that lasted for years. I became friends with people who you would not want to see your children hang out with. And you would yank them away as you walked down the road. You know, they mean, these were like that crowd. I'm not judging. But that's where they were. It's where they were. One of them was this little lady who must have been like 4'6", 5", short thing. Short. I'm not making fun of you short people, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Are you laughing for some reason? Yeah. Anyway. And I figured, well, what the heck? You know, we'll see what happens. She's sitting, you know, they had these, South Station is full of these little tables that basically only two people could sit at. Okay? And, you know, people are sitting there on their phones, on their computers, doing the stuff. And there's this one woman who's got this hat on. And I noticed she's always has a hat on. She's always by herself. And I figured, well, what the heck? Let's go over and say hi. And say, hey, how you doing? And he's, you know, I got a Dunkin' Donuts card. She goes, oh, that's great, that's great. And I have learned, okay, to ask what their name is. Ask their name. And the reason I do that is because my office is located in the North End, downtown. And there's this one homeless woman who floats around the North End. And he's like, hi, how you doing? Hi. That was the extent of things. And one morning in my backyard, I'm praying, okay, and I'm there, Father, and please bless the homeless woman in the North End. And I felt like he stopped me in the middle of my sentence, and he said, Doug, she has a name. Oh, that changed my plan of operation entirely. It wasn't that homeless woman in the North End. It's like, Doug, you get to know that person because she has a name. That means it's more than just how you doing. I tell you, there's twice in my life that I felt like God just interrupted what I was saying and he just laid something on me, and that was one. That was a big one. That changed how I deal with other people out there who are hurting and not hurting. I don't give a hoot. They have a name. Boy, did that change things. And so, and I still, to this day, I still know to ask what your name is. You stick your hand out there, and maybe they didn't take a bath for a month, and who gives a blasted hoot? You shake their hand and say, what's your name? Because my name's Carl. I said, Doug. I'm Doug, Carl. Nice to meet you. God's going to buy your next cup of coffee. You know, these puppies keep falling out here. Yeah. Anyway, so there's this little lady sitting at the table. Back to Jeanette. I go, hi, I'm Doug. She goes, I'm Jeanette. I said, well, Jeanette, it's really cool to see you here. Can I get you a cup of coffee? There's Obon Pan. There's a South Station. There's coffee everywhere. She goes, oh, that would be nice. And so I went and got her, and I got her like a croissant or, you know, little breakfasty kind of thing. That went on for about 3 years. We used to have breakfast for 4 times a week. Take an earlier train, okay? It means I have like 15, 20 minutes before I have to start walking up the street. We became close friends. I tell you, and it was the stuff that happened is just nuts. It's like, you know, she vanished at one point in time. This is before all the COVID deal. All of a sudden, gone. I have no idea what happened. I asked the other homeless people in the area. I asked the security folks. I still don't know. But those 3 years, okay, were gold. Here is this 80, she said she was like 81, okay, little old woman, and raised somewhere in the middle of Massachusetts. They all have a pretty horrific story, okay. Not an alcoholic, okay. No, there was no drugs, there was no alcohol there. Preferred living on cardboard over the ventilation shafts for the tea. I sat there with her and people from the Boston Housing Authority one time. And she wouldn't trust these people. She wouldn't trust these people. She trusted living on the street more so than her. Anyway, but we spent about 3 years. She would look for me when I got off the train, and she would get this huge smile on her face. And I'd get my huge smile on my face, and she's at her table, and I would sit right, I'd go grab a cup of coffee, sit down there, and Jeanette and I would drink coffee for 15 minutes. Just gold. Just gold. Now, the reason I stuck in one of those verses about letting your light shine, okay? Now, here we are sitting at this little table in South Station. Hundreds of people are walking by, including some of my coworkers, okay? And it's like everybody sees. You can't hide at South Station sitting at this little table while these trains empty out and hundreds of people go by. And it's a pretty weird situation. Here's this one person who's obviously homeless sitting there laughing with the other person who obviously isn't homeless. It was an oil and water kind of combo. It's like, it's attention getting. I always kind of knew that in the back of my head. I always kind of wondered, what are these people thinking? You know, they're sitting there and they're seeing these two people who don't look like they belong together. They just don't look that way. But they're laughing. It was probably the only time of the day Jeanette laughed. You know, it's not like she has a bunch of friends she's hanging out with. She didn't. You know, in the homeless community, they're not unionized. They don't go to meetings and stuff like this. You know, they're all these individual little silos. They don't trust anybody. No one. So Jeanette and I were having coffee one morning. And we're sitting there laughing. And this guy walks up to me. He's got this little piece, he's got this piece of paper, you know, and he goes, this guy told me to give this to you. So he hands me this piece of paper, $20 bill falls out, and on the piece of paper is a verse from Proverbs about helping the poor. I don't know where it came from, but people are watching. And I don't say this stuff to brag about you, but I'm telling you, this is the game. This is the game. I was light to Jeanette. You know, we talked about Jesus. We talked about God. We talked about everything. She said she believed. I can only believe her. You know, it's not like I'm going to, you know, test her. Believe her. $20 comes out of this envelope. And the guy who gave it to me disappeared. I do not know where the money came from to this day. All I do know is that people are watching. And that's why you need to be the light of the world. Yeah, that's the slide right there. That's the slide. You take those, no, back it up, back it up, back it up, yeah. That's of those verses we just read. Yeah, that's cutting to the chase right there. Living, the living sacrifice. Laying down your life. Because others are watching. Other folks are watching. Do you know what? They need to see it. You have a responsibility to act so others who don't know God from a hole in the ground, or even Christians who are deadbeat Christians. I was a professional deadbeat Christian. Even Christians who do nothing need to see God at work in people. And you know what? If you know, I don't care if you're getting nervous about this or not. I don't give a hoot. I just don't care. There's stuff for you to do. If you're doing nothing, guess what? You're wrong. Wrong. Okay, there's a time to rest. I got that. But if you're doing nothing, you're wrong. You are that living sacrifice. It's your job to lay down your life 24/7. And some of the times you're going to do it in private, but some of the times others need to see you in action. They need to see God in action through you is what they need to see. Now, good old Jeanette. You know, I have no idea. I have no idea what happened to Jeanette. It just, and you know what's funny? Jeanette's absence really left a hole in my heart. I fell in love with this old homeless woman. I just did. This lady was special. I'll never forget. One morning, and we'll wrap it up here in a second. One morning, I hop in there, and Jeanette's there. She's, oh, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you. You just wait right here. Wait right here. So I stay at the table. I'm waiting. And next thing, she comes back with breakfast for me. Somebody gave her $20. All right? She used half of it on me. I'm walking up Atlantic Avenue going, it's not supposed to work this way. But you know, God was saying, that brought Jeanette so much joy to buy me breakfast. I cried. What a gift. I wouldn't trade anything for that. That was the best McDonald's breakfast period I have ever had. Whatever it was, I can't remember what it was. But you know what? And the look on her face when she hands me the bag with the extra hash brown. Okay? When she hands me the bag, and you just beaming.
Crazy.
Put Jeanette's picture up there, Alec. Give me that last slide. That's Jeanette. That's my good friend Jeanette. You know? Cranky woman. Cranky, holy cow, is she cranky? But you know, it's like, but we laughed at everything, you know, just to have the opportunity to bring, you know, someone in her situation 10 minutes of a light, happy time. We talked about stupid stuff. I don't know. We talked about the Steelers. Steelers. I'm from Pittsburgh. Sorry. Okay. You know, but you know, or whatever. But boy, the opportunity to let God flow through me to her was just off the charts. And you know what? God, I'm not God's favorite. He sees this all the same. You know? He wants to use you. He wants to flow through you guys as well. Now, everybody's in a different zone. I got that. But like I said, if you're not doing anything, guess what? Stop it. Knock it off. Thus saith the Lord, knock it off. You know, get your ducks in order. Get your butt out there, all right? And take a chance. Take a chance. You know, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. I've heard that 1,000 times. You know, you got to take a chance. You know how many people turned their back on me and just shut me down when I went to them? Out of 50 or 100 or whatever, maybe 3. The odds of someone turning you down are so slim. You know, but I had created these mental mind blocks. It's like, that's not going to work. And then I thought about it for 10 minutes, and then, of course, it was just gone. And you know, it's kind of funny. I've talked about this with the guys in the Bible study. It seems like these opportunities that God throws in front of me, the window of opportunity lasts about 20 seconds. And then it's gone. Now, I know that it's not always that way. I got that. But you know what? In the stuff that I was doing, those windows were short. It's like, okay, I'm walking around here. There's that person there and sitting over there. All of a sudden, it's like, Doug, do you act? You do have a Dunkin' Donuts card in your pocket. You got that. So you got their cover. Are you going to take this, you know, these 5 seconds, okay, to go over to this woman or this guy and just say, hey, do the coffee card because the coffee is the greatest way in, you know? Or are you going to walk by and let that opportunity go away? If I had walked by Jeanette, I would not have experienced these moments that are just precious and gold to me now. It's the way it is. It's just the way it is. And I know that God has, for everybody in this room, God has gold for you just waiting. You can't see it, so don't go looking. But I'm telling you, You're going to stumble on the opportunities. We're going to pray in a second, and I'm going to make sure God bothers you. You know, you're going to start seeing things differently. You're going to start seeing things as opportunities to move. All right? Now, you won't move on all of them. I got that. I didn't either. But you're going to start moving on people who you just got this gut feeling, you know what, I'm going to do this. Or maybe it's the South Station thing where I felt like God would say, well, pick one. You know, I don't need, and don't wait for choirs of angels and the Hallelujah chorus as the angel Gabriel points to that person there. That ain't happening. I don't even know if you can go wrong here. Who cares if someone slams a door in your face and say, hey, buzz off. Oh, there was a wasted 8 seconds. You know, come on. Take a chance. Because the rewards, I mean, here I am crying, walking up Atlantic Avenue because this homeless woman bought me breakfast. Anybody would cry under that. That's the end of that discussion. What a gift. What a gift, I'm telling you. So that's my story. You know, and I'm not sharing this to brag. I'm not the bragging. I don't brag. You know, my job is to kick Christians in the butt. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's probably listed. Maybe they forgot to include that. But, you know, it's like, all right, you know, but that's my gift. And I really feel like, you know, because I needed to have my butt kicked and I did nothing for decades. That's a whole other story. But, you know, it's like, go and do likewise. You know, we hear all these, we can recite all these verses, and half the time it's just ink on paper. Stop it. Do something. Maybe you should just read Romans 12:1 all week long. And nothing else. Who cares? You know, let the stuff sink in. Go back to that slide with those three, Ella. The one before this one again, please. That maybe you just sit there for the week and just concentrate on the fact that, yeah, you know, I'm a living sacrifice. And I'm going to start laying down my life for people. What I got to lose? I'm going to take a little risk here. I'll start laying down my life. And you know what? And other people are going to look at me. And some people will judge me and say, what an idiot. They're probably doing it already anyway. Right? Now, how do you know? You don't know what people think. Anyway, but start doing stuff. You know, a lot of stuff happens one-on-one in private. But you know what? A lot of stuff needs to be done in public. So others may see. Let's pray. Wrap this puppy up. Father, it's so cool to be here and shoot the breeze about you. Just love it. And Father, I just pray that these words here, Father, sink in and bother everybody in this room. Father, pierce their hearts, Father. Make sure, Father, the opportunities become more abundant and more obvious as soon as they walk out the door and hop in the car and zip out of here. So, Father, help us be conscious of your guiding and your leading. And Father, hey, we could use some guts here. I got it. We could all use some guts, Father. I pray that you give us courage to take these steps that maybe we've never taken before. So Father, just grab a hold of us. You ain't leaving us. We all know that. Help us, Father, as we reach out and help others. We thank you so, so much, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody in this room said, good. Peter.